Amen. Let's give another hand of praise for Pastor Tim there and his prophetic message that he gave. You know, I believe in the prophecy. I believe when Christ within us begins to speak prophecy, I believe it's the Word of God that has power to manifest itself on earth. And when we yield to that prophetic voice, and it's a true prophetic voice because there's no agenda to it. You know, that's how you know it's a true word. You know, when there's no agenda to that word, no motive. But at the same time, there's something incredible that happens in the spiritual realm. Heaven opens up. And when we walk in that, you know, God will open up doors. And I believe that your business will prosper over it. You know, I believe that anyone who has a desire of that anointing that just jumped up and, you know, gave according to that anointing, is going to be blessed. And even those that may not be in business but are working, you know, God's going to bless you with favor. I believe favor is going to come in your business. Favor is going to come into your new job. You know, favor is going to come and open up doors and continue to, you know, allow employment when there might be layoffs coming off, you know. I just believe God's just going to honor when we worship him in that way. And I know it's sometimes awkward coming out of my mouth because, you know, being in the ministry and committing myself, but I think it's almost 2 years now going full time and three. I'll tell you, I really appreciate all of the support that all of you have given because you allowed the help, you know, keep us, you know, continuing to go on and hold the ministry here at the barn and, you know, the real estate that's involved and everything else, you know, the expense that goes on. All of you have been able to help and keep that going, and I just really appreciate all, no matter what it is, all of it is ever much appreciated. And God is beginning to open up small little doors for us to make supplements and stuff like that, which is a very appreciative, you know, because the major motive of why we do what we do is to get this gospel out to those that have to hear the gospel. And I truly feel that we have a certain gospel, not like everyone else's gospel. And we began to speak about what the gospel is. And the gospel's good news in the sense of a message. It's the, you know, unchangeable, unreasonable truth that is given is really the gospel. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel, either is the other pastors in this ministry. We're not ashamed of the gospel. And we are showing and demonstrating how to forsake your life according to the gospel and realize that God will provide all of our needs. You know, he'll meet our needs. And as I look and I see each and every one of you is how your needs are always constantly met, no matter what. And that's the beauty of it. And that's the true message of the gospel, of putting God into that place of worship and lifting his name up and then watching him just unfold, you know, your blessing. You know, God is a mysterious being, a creator of the heavens and the earth. And no one knows how he can create with his word. You know, no one understands how he can create the heavens and the earth. I mean, there's no formula of how God does what he does, but he does it. And he does it according to the desires of your heart. And that's what is really awesome about the truth of the gospel. And with that being said, we are speaking many series, and we're in a flow rate now of what we're entering into. And I truly believe we're entering into a new age, which requires the new millenniums, which God is bringing a new message to the church. Just no different than Jesus came 2,000 years ago. How many people understand that 2,000 years ago, when Jesus' ministry started, he came with a new message? Didn't he? Even to the point where that new message, he was hated for. He was hated. And they ended up persecuting him and putting him on the cross. They hated him so much because of the new message. God said, I want you to speak a new message. And he says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. And I believe we're in that hour. And he has raised up a group like us who is going to be committed to speak the new message. It's not new. It's been around for since we were birthed, and we were birthed close to 20 years now. But it's now new to those that are hearing. And it has everything to do with glory and grace. Not many people understand what glory is. And not many people understand what grace is. Some people think grace is the favor of God. How many people thought grace was the favor of God? Oh, I got grace on my life. You know, I got favor. But it actually isn't. It's a knowledge of a revelation of who he is. It really is. Some people might tend to argue that, but grace has been given to me. I know the mysteries of heaven, and I am saved by grace. I am saved not by the prophets, not by anyone forgiving my sins. I am saved by grace. I am saved by the mysteries of heaven, the knowledge, knowing that I have been forgiven since the foundations of the world. Amen. And that sin doesn't exist. But everybody will say, but we're sinners. We're sinners. You can call yourself a sinner. You can call yourself a sinner. And why I'm saying this now is because we're coming into a realm of glory, and we're coming into a realm of grace that we've never seen before. For one, you cannot tell the millennium age that they're bad or they're a sinner. You can't. Would you, as a millennium, if I said to you, you're a sinner, would you look at me with like three heads and say, what are you talking about? I didn't do nothing wrong. And that you have to come to Calvary and accept Jesus Christ into your heart. You're going to be like, what? What are you talking about? I am a born child of glory. When God changed my heart, I became a glory child. And I have the revelation and knowledge of God's love. And we are not with sin. What we're lacking is grace. We need grace to be saved. Nothing more, nothing less. We need grace to be saved. And that grace is to say, you know what? You're not a sinner. You have done nothing wrong. And even if you did something wrong, you didn't do it out of intentional ways. Maybe you planned it and it wasn't intentional because something prior to that caused you to go in that direction. And what happened was, we created sin. Now, I'm not going to say that sin doesn't exist. It does. But it doesn't manifest in everybody's life as you were born in sin. And you're a sinner. You're not a sinner. How many people understand that you're not a sinner? You got to grab a hold of this message of grace. Not one of us are sinners. Because we are saved by grace. The only thing that you're lacking is the knowledge. You're lacking grace. So because you don't have grace, does that make you a sinner? No. How can I condemn you if you didn't know? How can I charge you if you didn't know? How many people have gotten pulled over for their first offense? And then they say, well, since this is your first offense, we'll let you go. You see? How many seriously get punished for their first offense? But if you did it again and again and again, well, let me see, you did this five times, I'm going to have to really hammer you. You see? I want to share something in the Bible here. It says in James chapter 1, verse, I think it's 15, but I'm going to go to a place where it speaks about temptation. In verse 14 it says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So you got to say to yourself, did sin exist before? You have to grab hold of this. Did sin exist before desire?
No.
It didn't exist. Okay, so sin didn't exist before desire. A desire had to come first. And then, how did this desire come first? It came by our own desires and enticed. Not my will, but your will. Would that be sin on a desire? You see? You know, when God gives you a desire and then you have a desire, they're two different things. So you have to really understand. And how to get God's will and his desire is not to desire anything. And then he'll move you. And that's a whole different chapter.
That word desire means lust.
Well, I'm going to take it back to what we spoke about a couple of weeks ago in Romans about worship. And I'm going to get back to worship in the realm of glory. But before I go there, we have to understand this particular part of sin. Religion has to go. Truth has to rule and reign. And the truth is, sin doesn't exist until its birth. It says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Now that doesn't mean that it's going to cause harm in your life. There's another opportunity for grace. There's another opportunity for the mysteries and the wisdom of heaven. You can still turn from the way you're thinking. So it's almost like this. I want a desire for money. So I'm gonna go rob that bank. It's a thought. And that thought's coming in and it's starting to become birthed into sin. Now I'm preparing and I'm doing it and all that other stuff. And, you know, I might even like walk to the bank. I might even have a gun in my pocket, you know. I'm all ready to go rob this bank and I'm ready to turn the doorknob. Is it sin yet? That's right. I didn't give birth. Okay, let's say I went in and I did it and I robbed the bank and I got the money. Is it sin yet? It's not sin yet, because I can actually return it. I can give it back. See, there's so many levels of grace to set you free from sin. Now, if I took it and I spent it and I fulfilled my lustful desire and went on a vacation, because that was the root of me wanting to steal this. I wanted to go somewhere. I needed money, and I wanted to go fulfill my lustful passion. And then I went ahead and fulfilled it. Now it becomes sin. How many people understand that? And then there's no longer grace. There's a penalty. It leads to death. It says here, and sin, when it is fully grown. See, sin can grow. But when it's fully grown, it brings forth death. And that's when I believe that's when judgment comes and smacks you around. Okay, I believe that's when you're going to actually feel the pain of sin. How many of us understand that we can live a life out of sin? Okay? Because of God and his love, okay, he has given us a conscience. He has given us a conscience to have an awareness to turn, to change the way we're thinking. And this is the gospel message, you see? God isn't eliminating you to have a life. So if you like certain things in your life, it may not be good for one person, and it may not be good for the other, but it doesn't mean that it's not good for you. There are things in my life that I just made choices not to do. But it doesn't mean that you can't do it. This is what God is calling us in this hour. He says that all things are made good. Not all things are edifying for one another. God doesn't want you to live under a law of religion. He wants you to live under a law based on within your heart and be followed and led by conviction. And then to look at why you do what you do. Now, Paul said very clear, why do I keep doing the things that I don't want to do, but I keep doing it? Well, obviously, Paul was doing something that he saw judgment. Maybe he kept doing something and he kept having bad outcomes, you know? The outcome wasn't good. He weighed it out and he's like, man, the outcome's coming out worse off than my good. It's like I'm doing something and it's like I feel like I'm beating something here, and it's just, you know, yeah, I get blessed every once in a while, but things just don't seem to keep going the way I want them to go. And he says, why do I keep doing the same thing over and over? Then he says, well, it's sin that dwells within me. See, sin will rob, steal, kill, and destroy. You have to begin to recognize, is it healthy? What you're doing, is it healthy for you? Is it healthy for your relationship? Is it healthy for, you know, your whatever you're involved in? Is it healthy? And if you find that it's not healthy, then you have to turn away and walk away from it. You have to change the way you're thinking and you have to walk away. How many people understand how hard it is to walk away from something? It's very difficult. Sometimes, you know, you just have to walk away. How about walking away and then always looking back at it? Isn't that the worst? That in itself is, you think you're being free from sin, but you're constantly continuing to look back at it, and it's almost like leaving Egypt and then wanting to go back to Egypt. You can't do that. You have to walk away and forget about it. You got to walk away and leave it. And then be washed. This is how you become washed. This is how you get washed. And you can live a life in the gospel without sin. You don't have to accept the prophet. You don't have to accept, you know, the lamb that was slain. You don't have to do these things. You don't have to accept religion. I'm speaking to Muslims out there, Buddhists out there, Hindus out there. I'm speaking to all types of denominations, Judaism, Christianity. There are tons of religions out there. And each one of them has their way of getting free from sin. But God has brought the world that we live in so close to each other. Your neighbor now is a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew or whatever. Your friends are all multicultured individuals. And there's one life to live, and that's through grace. One life to live, and that's through glory. Glory is a form of victory. Glory is a form of overcoming. Knowing that you're an overcomer. Knowing that your life is going to change because you have walked in this realm of glory. And you're going to end with prosperity and success because God is within you. How many people understand that? And he doesn't count your life as sin. He doesn't look at sin. If I remember, he throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. And he doesn't even look at it. So where I'm going is, 2,000 years ago, there had to have been an awakening that he didn't desire sacrifices anymore. Well, now God is saying, I don't desire worship of the lamb anymore. I don't desire you taking dips in the ocean 150,000 times. I don't desire on a certain day, on whatever it might be, that special day where you sprinkle ashes over your head anymore. I don't desire any of these religious rituals. I desire you to have grace so that this grace can save you. And acknowledge that when you feel in your heart that this is not working or this is not good, this is not healthy, I need to walk away, or I need to continue to go on. I need to do this. When you hearken this small voice, this voice of Christ, the conscious awareness of conviction, when you feel your heart and you obey it, that is what's really washing you away from sin. That is literally removing the sin out of your life. That is cleansing you and causing you to walk in purity. God says, be holy, for I am holy. Well, how can we possibly be holy if we're always under a law? Do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. What if I told you that let's just take the earthly things of alcohol? And what if I told you that, well, if you're going to follow this doctrine, this religion, that you cannot drink alcohol? But yet you like it. You like occasional drink here and there. Would you feel condemned if all of a sudden you started taking a little drink, you know, or something? Or even if you were drinking, would you feel condemned? God doesn't require that. You can drink if you want to drink. Have a party. The law says, man's law says, that you're not required to wear your dresses too long or, you know, or too short, or you can't wear pants or whatever. You can't cut your hair. You got to wear your hair a certain way or whatever. But if you have a conviction in your heart not to, follow that conviction. How many people are understanding what I'm saying? Okay? Because we need to be free. The law is of God is a law of freedom, not having any chains of bondage whatsoever in your life. I see a couple of millenniums here. And I see one that is guided and led by individuals. I'm going to ask if those individuals are willing to trust the God that's in her and allow her to live the life that she feels led to live. Or are we going to continue to mold and strain our freedom of choice that God has given us? Sometimes we love so much that we don't allow them to breathe. I look and I see that maybe it's time that we allow our children to live in grace. Teach them in the message, that millennium age that is coming up. Because there is a seed of glory that is planted in them. And God has given them the truth of this generation, this movement. If you try to tell them the old-time religion that Jesus Christ is their personal Savior and that he died for your sins and all that, they're going to look at you and go, huh? They're going to look at you and say, it's not bearing witness with what I have inside of me. But if you say to them, you're a good person, and you haven't done anything wrong, and I'm going to begin to trust you, because you're at that age now that I have to trust you. How many of us have children at this certain age where we need to begin to trust them? We got to trust them. I know it's really difficult to trust, because we love them so much and we tend to don't want them to get hurt because we know how horrible the world can be. But if we don't trust them and we put them in bondage, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to follow your guidance or your warnings. They're going to say to you, you don't know what you're talking about. It's no different than if we bring them a message of religion. They're going to say, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand. And so we need to begin to raise this millennium generation up in the sense of glory. Trust them. Allow them to live their life. Let them know that they have Christ in them. They have a light that is in them. And if they can look at God and say, God, I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want you to direct my footsteps. I believe this is where we need to bring our generation that is coming up in a knowledge of who God is, and then believe and trust that God, for one, how many of us gave our children over to the Lord when they were younger? Right? God, these are your children. But at the same time, I'm going to take them. We have to release them. And I believe right now that there are a lot of those that are on our site listening that have children. And there's also a lot of millennium children that are probably going, yeah, 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 this message has got to get to my mom. This message has got to get to my dad because I'm not a bad person and I have to learn and I have to experience life and I have to make this change and efforts and things of that nature. There are things that are happening right now around the world that is just destroying life. There's a widespread epidemic that is being poured out right now, and people are dropping left and right, and it's sad. I've had 4 releases. Some of you know that I'm in the Doves and I release Doves, and I went to 4 funerals and 3 of them were overdoses. 1 was on a natural death. What's that saying? It's sad. My heart is breaking. Because no one is telling them the truth. No one is sharing the message of the gospel, the true message. I wouldn't doubt it if a lot of them are turning to the church, but yet are being rejected and pushed away from the church. I wish I could do more. I wish I can get this gospel message out there more so than it ever has been, because it's not a condemning message. It's a message of love and hope. And there's laws and mysteries in heaven that we don't understand. And I want to bring this law and mystery. And it's a simple message. And if I want to speak to the millennials that are here today and those that are listening, and even those that are in your own life, if you begin to honor God and put Him first in your life, it will release the legal written contracts that are over everybody's life. This is what it meant by being born in sin. You were born in sin. I'm going to tell you the truth of what it is to be born in sin. That means that there is a contract that is written over your life saying this: if you don't worship me, I'm going to let the door open for darkness to come upon you and blind you and cause you to be deaf, dumb. And you will fail, you will make mistakes, you will come to a place where you will condemn yourself. It's called releasing you to your vile passions and giving you a debased mind. When we turn to a point of just honoring God and worshiping Him and recognizing who our Creator is and giving Him all glory, honor, and love, it will close the door in your life And the enemy, darkness, can't come upon you. So the contract is voided. How many people are understanding this? And it's very important for us not to drown our generation with do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs. It's important for us to bathe them in the importance of understanding who the Creator is and how this Creator can save you, how this Creator can guide you and lead you, and how to hear His voice, how to understand the realm of glory, so that when you embrace this Creator, the supreme being of the universe, and embrace it with all your heart, soul, and mind, and no matter what you do, you always look up and you always like embrace this Creator in your heart. And everything that you do, you go before Him and say, how do you think? What do you think? Let me put this in front of you. And wait for that still small voice. This, if we minister to our people today, this gospel message, it will hold back darkness from coming into their lives. It'll close the door from demonic activity, causing them to do the things that they're doing in their life. How many people understand this? Our battles are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and darkness in high places. Our battles aren't you following the law, because nobody can keep up the law of man. Nobody. And if you're going to lay a law down and you're going to make me follow, is that being free when I don't really want to follow that? And it could be as simple as, hey, go out there on every other Saturday and go feed the poor. Well, I really don't want to do that, but, you know, you got to feed the poor. You see, you got to. And then you're bad if you feel that way. So now I'm just putting condemnation on myself. I shouldn't feel this way. I'm so bad. I'm so wicked. I'm so mean. Why can't I be conformed to this? What is wrong with me? Why do I keep feeling this way? You're not subject to the law of the land. You're subject to the law of God. And if you're called to do that, I want to encourage you. If you're called not to do that, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you in everything that is written on your heart, whether I agree with it or not. There are some things that you might do that I might not agree with. But who am I to judge what is on your heart? And it may be bad, and it may be good. But God teaches us through the bad, and He teaches us through the good. And let God be the teacher of our lives. Let God be the ruler and the reigner of our lives. I believe what God is saying in this hour is that He wants to put away all judgment. How many of us truly can say in our hearts that we don't have any judgment? I'm going to tell you right now, I have judgment in my heart. And I every day I exercise, don't let me judge. Don't let me judge. Let me look at everything as good, because I don't know what God is doing in that person's life. I don't understand what God is doing. So I have to allow what is happening in people's lives. Now, granted, if I have authority over that individual, like if it's my 12-year-old child, you know, and they're still under my covering, and I still have to guide them and direct them, and I see that there might be something that is wrongdoing, I might have to jump in there and say, hey, you know what you're doing is wrong. Why are you doing? Let's sit down and let's talk about it. But there's a number that you have to figure out. What is that number to you that you might feel comfortable with, that they're no longer under your covering and you have to let them work those things out yourself? You have to let the little birds fly. And then as you get older, you're going to have a lot of people in your life, and you're going to have to look at them all flying on their own. You can't take that mother nurture or your father's nurture into the public arena, so to say, and then base your opinions on everybody, unless they ask. I believe this is what God is wanting from his true worshipers, so that it will draw people to him. How are we supposed to draw a world that thinks they know everything and bring them to a truth that has been beaten to no end? How many of us can relate to what I'm saying as far as the gospel message has been beaten down to no end? Try winning somebody to the Lord. Try evangelizing and bringing somebody to the gospel message. See what happens. Let's see if it sticks. They might come one day here, they might come one day there, because their situation, you just happen to catch them at the right time. But the majority of the people, if it's not bearing witness, goes right back to their vomit. They go right back to their ways. They go right back. And I truly believe it's because they're not given the truth of how to follow God. How to understand that they aren't with sin. You know, when you push somebody and tell them that they're a sinner, is that making them happy? Or is that making them feel bad? When you tell someone that you need to repent, does that make them happy, or that makes them sad? God is saying that no more. No more. You can't. You're pushing everybody away. You're not drawing them to the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is you're a good person. The problem is you don't understand grace. You're a good person, but the problem is you don't know God. You're a good person, but the problem is you have legal rights for darkness to come against your life. You have a contract over your life. The problem is you have a contract, and that contract needs to be broken. And then they're going to ask you, what? I got a contract over my life? What are you talking about? Yeah. It's a written contract. In the heavenlies, you got a contract over your life, which is given rights to darkness to destroy your life. And if you can change the way you're thinking, not that you're a bad person, but you're not thinking right. You have a debased mind. Your mind is not thinking clearly. You're doing things, and it's causing you to do things, and your mind is not right. It's not that they're bad people. How many people understand that they're not bad people? How could you say those who fell are bad? They're not. They're just not thinking right. They're falling because they're not thinking right. That boy was not thinking right. He's not a bad boy. He's a good boy. That man who just passed not too long ago, he's a good kid. He had a lot going for him, but he was condemned. He needed to change the way he was thinking. He wasn't thinking right. He was searching for God, but he didn't know what God. And the problem is, there are so many people out there trying to direct people to God. So many different religions. And, well, you know what? I got beat up by the church so much, by the Christian church. I'm going to go Buddhist. I heard a guy say to me the other day, well, I haven't been beat up by Buddhists yet, so I'm going to give that a try. I'm like, are you kidding me? Said there's one God. One. It's the God of faith. And I don't expect you to understand. I don't expect you to see him. But I expect you to just put your heart into it. Lift your eyes up and say, God, I don't know you, but you know what? I want to know you. I want to know God. I want to know God. Lead me, guide me, show me. I want to know him. Just lift your eyes up. Just call out his name. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Religion is not going to save people out there. Denominations aren't going to save people out there. It's going to be God and him only. I'm not here to convert anybody over to anything but to God. That's it. And I want them to know the glory of God. See, the glory of God is the testimonies. When you begin to see God work in your life, that is the glory of God. But no one can see the glory of God because they're putting their eyes to a God that, who knows what? The pillow God, the God of cry out, you know, woe is me God. Not the God, good morning, here I am, I know nothing, but what I do know, help me, lead me today, make my day successful, glorify me so that I can glorify you, lead me and guide me down the path that you have for me. Show me the way that I need to go. Close the doors that you don't want me to go in and open up the doors that you want me to follow through. Here I am, Lord. This is the God that we need to preach. Let me see your glory and pour out your grace. I want to know your grace. I want to know that these things are not accounted for. I made mistakes, but I want to know your grace so that yesterday is gone and forgotten. And I want to know what these things purify my heart. Show me, should I stay or should I go? Should I continue or should I lay it down? Convict my heart. Convict me. So I know the truth, and the truth sets me free. Only God is the one that speaks to you. Only God can direct you. Only God can bring his grace and save you. The power of darkness needs to be put away. And I truly believe that we encourage darkness to work in other people's lives because we don't show them the right way. We're full of judgment and we condemn. We're not walking in love. If we really can look at things, are we walking in the level of love that we should be walking in? It's more like you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to do this, and you have to do that. How many of us here alone today do those things? Listen, I'm guilty of it myself. We have a love inside of us, and it's not channeled out right. And we have to channel out our life. We have to channel out our love. And we need to begin now. Or we're just going to hurt people. We're just going to hurt the generation that's coming up. Moving forward. If we look at our own lives, I want to challenge us today to work out your own salvation. Make sure that you're walking in right standings in God. that you are putting him first. Work out your own salvation. And now I want to challenge you to take it to the next level. I want you to lead people to God. I want you to trust them in their convictions. If you're close to individuals, stop condemning. Stop judging. Stop telling them that they can't do this and they can't do that. Stop telling them that they have to do this and they have to do that. Who's at fault? I'm at fault. I catch myself doing it a lot. And it's like, I got to stop doing this. And why am I doing it? I ask myself, why am I doing it? And I say, I'm doing it because I care for that person. I love that person. I'm doing it because I care and I love that person. Okay, then what am I doing? I'm being God in their lives. I'm not allowing the conviction on their own heart, their own leading, their own guiding. Even if it's going to like put me involved and it's going to hurt me or somehow or another. Because family is really a culprit of most of this. You know, the neighbor, you could care less what that person does, you know. Well, if you want my opinion, I'll give it to you. But, you know, have a nice day. I don't care what you do. But it's mostly family is the big issue. Or friends. Individuals that we're close to. I'm working my own salvation. I want to be pleasing in God's sight. I want to show him my worship. And how do you show worship to God? By maybe letting him be God? Maybe letting him be God through others? Listen. If you want my opinion, I'll tell you. If you come to me and ask me, I'll let you know. But I'm not going to be in your face and see what you're doing and say, you know what, you shouldn't do that. You know what? You should keep on doing that. I'm not even going to encourage anyone to do what they're doing. Why? Because I feel good about it? Listen to me. God's taking us to a higher level of holiness. And he's drawing. If we lift him up, he will draw all men unto me. Now, you haven't heard the second part of this message. The first part is, leave them alone. The second part is, when they come to you, because they will. Right now, we're pushing them all away. But if you just leave it alone, and point them to God and say, well, you know, you have a conscience. You got a heart. You know, God wants to speak to you. Listen to him. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. They'll walk away. Guaranteed they'll be right back. Come on, man, please help me out here. I got a decision to make. I want to know if this is the right thing. They're going to be drawn to you because you're exalting God. You're showing them the way. And God is going to lead them back to you. And you're going to have God speak. He's going to speak through you and give you the wisdom. And all of a sudden, you'll be pouring out wisdom on these people. And then they're going to want to know your God. What is separating you from everybody else? What is separating you? People are being drawn to you. How do you keep them? How do you tell them about God? Ain't the old way. They want to know. There are people coming to you all the time now. God is drawing them. He doesn't want us to hold church in that hour. He's not calling you to be the minister on the job site or, you know, you hear what I'm saying? God is calling us to point them to God. And then when they come back, because they're going to come back. I want to tell you right now, you point them to God, they're coming back. You're not losing them. I truly believe, and hear me out, because I was culprit of this. Until I began to search my own heart, I'm saying, what am I here to prove to these people? That I know the truth? What am I trying to prove? Do I really want to help them out? They're not going to listen to me anyhow. They're going to do what they want to do anyhow. What, am I going to point them to something? No, I'm going to point them to God. I have changed from my ways because they're not listening to you anyhow. I'm going to tell you right now, they're not listening. Well, how do you feel? What's here? What's happening right here? How do you feel? I want to speak to my own children this way. I know, you're always looking for an answer, aren't you? My one kid's like, no, I don't want you to do that anymore. Don't stop. Would you just stop doing that? I want to hear the answer. See, they're longing to know. So what is she going to always do? She's going to come running back to me. She's going to trust me. It's a crucial time right now that your children trust you. It's a crucial time right now that their children know who you are. It's a crucial time. They're running to everybody else, but to us. We need them to come to us. God is calling us to be the true church. And how are they going to come to us? If we exalt them to God first, and because they can't find God for themselves, I'm going to tell you right now, they can't. They're not mature enough. They don't know. So they're going to come back to you. Because you believed in them the first time. You trusted them the first time. This is a mystery. They come to you. They start sharing all kinds of stuff. And you say to them, well, how do you feel? How do you feel? How many of us have done this before? Good for you. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Those who have never done it before, listen to what I'm saying. Because God is building a church. He is building a church. God is building a church, and He's building it through you. When you build somebody up, not, oh, you're a great person and you do great things. But when you build them up in the fact that you can say to them, what do you feel? How do you feel? What do you feel inside? Yes or no? Go or don't go? Well, I don't feel to go. Well, then don't go. That's God telling you. And keep seeking Him. And they're going to go off. And they're going to come back. And they're going to go, you know, thank you, because I'm glad I didn't go. Because if I went, oh my God, all this mess would have happened. And I'm so grateful that I didn't go. Thank you. And then you still say, listen, God loves you. He put that in you. You just followed Him. I did. I followed God. Yes, you followed God. Isn't that wonderful? Keep doing that. Well, I didn't know I can come to God like this. He says He'll never leave you or forsake you. He's there all the time. You just got to take that moment to acknowledge Him. You got to take that moment. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to start seeing the glory of God. And when they begin to start seeing the glory of God, guess what? Get ready. Because they're going to come to you for more. and you can continue to lead them and guide them and direct them down the right path. I truly believe this is the age that we're living in right now, that church is not going to be the same as it used to be. It's not the same. As much as I would like to not break traditions, look, I want to see the church filled. Why is it not filled with truth? I'm not talking about this one. They're dying all over the place. The internet's like doing a great job. This ministry's doing a great job and all that. The truth is getting out there. But there's an age that is leaving this earth. I'm not getting any younger. I'm getting older. We're going to be on our way out. Who's carrying the torch? Who's the next generation that's going to carry the torch? I got to close. I got the red light. I got to end this message. I want us to move forward in glory and in grace. And I want us to begin to instruct those in glory and grace. And I want us to have a knowledge of what glory is. And I want us to have a knowledge of what grace is. We are saved by grace. Remember that. And grace is a knowledge. That knowledge is riding right inside of our heart. And God dwells within our heart. And we got to bring this knowledge to the world that is coming into existence. 2,000 years ago, I said it before, Jesus came and he changed the course of religion. Did he not? 2,000 years ago, God is bringing back his second coming. He's changing the course of religion. And we need to hear what God is saying and build his church. Amen? Amen. Let us bow our heads for a moment. As we're going to get ready to pray, I want to know who's willing to stand in the gap for this generation that is coming. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you are giving us and showing your strategic methods of winning those who you love. That we are being that light in a dark place and making our job very easy by pointing them all to you. We don't have to be worried about being right or wrong. We don't have to be concerned other than directing them to you and let you do all the work. Father, I ask for those that we reached and they're no longer with us today. I ask that you would have mercy on their souls. Wash our hands clean with your grace and your mercy, because we did not know. And lead us down this road to be effective for you. And let us work out our own salvation by applying the truth that you have given us. Stop judging, stopping even encouraging their ways if we feel in our heart that it's not the right way because we want to be politically correct. But let us just smile and hold back anything that we've done in the past, our habits, but let us point them to you in all things. And when they come back, I ask for your wisdom to be on our lips so that we guide them and bear witness of what you've already put in them. I thank you, Lord, for hearing us today. And I ask that you bless each and every one that is here and those that are listening, and to bring healing into their bodies, into their minds, and into their souls. Take away any mourning that might be in them through others that may have hurt them in the past. But cleanse them and let them know that you have everything under control. You're the master potter, and we are the clay. We don't have your mind. So let us lay ourselves down in this truth and be molded in your ways, I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.